You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, November the 26th. I'm coming to you from my hotel room in Brooklyn, getting ready to hop on this train to head back to Philly. And but we want to talk about three things today. The 76ers improved to 14-8 after yesterday's 127-125 victory here over the Brooklyn Nets. Jimmy Butler, this was his second game winner for the Sixers. Second game winner in the closing seconds. Game-winning shot in the closing seconds since being acquired in a trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves earlier this month. So we want to talk about that in the first segment, when we also want to dissect the game. The second segment, we want to talk about Markelle Fultz. As we know, and most of you know, today he's going to see a shoulder specialist today here in New York City. And thirdly, I want to talk about the 76ers moving forward. Like I said, they're 14-8, and just talk about some things for them upcoming. But again, first off, let's get into last night's game. Okay, so last night's game, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. It looked like the 76ers were going to lose this matchup. They looked a little, in the first half, they looked like they were lackluster. As you're trying to get, your thoughts together. And see, basically, I'm going to tell you this. Like, in my job, at least, I have to file something 5 minutes after the game for the online edition. Then I come back. My deadline is at 10:30. For the C edition of the paper. Then I come back at 11:30 for the D edition. Well, so this game would have been over by like 9 o'clock. So you're writing up stuff and you're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, like, okay, they're going to lose. So you're typing up stuff as if it's going to be a loss. J.J. Redick, he finished the game 5 for 14, 15 points. Ben Simmons was 5 for 13 for 13 points. Mike Muscala, he ended up 0 for 4 on threes, 0 for 4 for the game. And Jimmy Butler didn't shoot the ball particularly well through like three quarters, right? Butler ended up with 34 points on 11 for 20 shooting. So, this game had a loss written all over it, right? Then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter comes. The Sixers are, they were down by 20 twice in the first half. Well, in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler scores 18 of his 34 points. None bigger than his 27-footer with 0.4 seconds left that lifted the team to a 127-125 victory, right? His game winner came over Chester native Rondé Hollis-Jefferson in front of the Nets bench, right? It's funny because this is the same shot that Butler made against the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte on November the 17th. The same exact shot. The only difference was it came at 0.3 seconds left. And after the game, and it's funny because he practiced this shot over and over again Saturday night at Villanova, just in case the Sixers got in the same situation, right? And when you talk to him after the game, he said, "This is my spot." I think if I get there at any point in time in the game, I can make a lot of shots, right? So that's what he said, and he's true. He thinks that if he gets there, he can make a lot of them. And he also talked about, because Rondae Hollis Jefferson played some exceptional defense on him. I mean, he was there. But he also thinks that, you know, great offense is better than great defense. Like, if a guy's playing great D, but you're playing great offense, you know, both things are equal, you know, you should still be able to make that shot, right? Now, the good thing about him is that this guy had a sprained ankle that he was playing on. You know, he sprained his left ankle, and he said his ankle was a little bit sore, but I'm okay. I mean, they got two days, you know, off before the Sixers' next game against the Knicks on Wednesday. So he just wants to get some treatment and have a little bit of wine and get some rest. He said that with a laugh. So, you know, he's joking things off, but at the same time, Brett Brown said before the game, I mean, that he wants Butler to be more aggressive for the 76ers to win. He was late in the game. Like, early on, it looked like he was getting, like, quiet points, like sleepy points. Like, you know, everything was in the flow of the game. He wasn't really taking care of it. You know, it wasn't no different than anybody else scoring. It was like he just wasn't announcing himself. But once the fourth quarter came, you know, like I said, he had 18 points, and Joel Embiid scored 11 of his 32 points in the fourth, right? So those two took charge. So that's great for the 76ers. Great for the 76ers. Because I'm telling you, they looked horrible early on. And, you know, you have Landry Shamet, who finished with a career high 16 points. He was 4-4 on threes. It's great. That's huge. But, like I said, Ben Simmons was 5-13. You know, Ben Simmons had 13 points. He had 9 assists. He had 3 steals. He had 2 blocks. He had 3 turnovers. And he had 5 rebounds, right? But it got to a point where the Brooklyn Nets stood at least 10 feet away from him. There was one point early in the game where Ben Simmons was standing all alone with the ball in his hand at the three-point line, and everyone else was back in the paint, literally back in the paint begging him to shoot, and he didn't attempt it. I mean, early on, he attempted like 2 8-footers. He badly missed one. He missed the second one. And that was it. Like, he just did not shoot. And for the Sixers to move forward, I mean, we said it before, and we're going to keep saying it. In order for them to be successful, Ben Simmons has to shoot the ball. He has to. He has to give them space. He has to make people come out and respect him. And B, if he's not going to shoot, and if he's not going to shoot the ball, then the ball has to be in Jimmy Butler's hands. It just has to be. Because Ben can't continue to have the ball in his hand and don't shoot. Because what's going to happen is teams are going to just shy away, back away like they did before. Or something else they can do. If he's not going to shoot, then have them play like they did a couple plays. I mean, like they did in certain stretches yesterday. Have them playing power forward or center. He played center yesterday. Because what's going to happen is in the playoffs, Ben Simmons is going to be down there near the post, basically, as they say, playing underneath the backboard or behind the backboard, right down there on the block. And when stuff comes off the rim or if somebody comes in, they give him a lob or something like that. Because if not, he's not going to be effective if he's just standing around not shooting the ball, right? But remember, when we're the second segment, let's talk a little bit about Markelle Fultz. We all know about the Markelle Fultz situation, and we'll talk about it a little bit when we get back. All right. Now, today, we all know that Markelle Fultz is going to see a specialist, right? We all know that. I mean, it's something that's going to be, you know, documented. I mean, something that was documented for a while now. Now, I hate to say this, but it's true. We all know that Markelle Fultz's shoulder situation. By now, if you don't know, you should know. I've been saying this for the past 13 months. It's mental. Right? But I'm expecting the doctor to find something. And the reason being is because you remember when it was last year he came out with the scapular muscle imbalance, you know, which was kind of like the biggest joke reason for him, you know, not playing. Well, the thing about that is the doctor that he found a scapular muscle imbalance, the doctor who diagnosed that, I'm told via sources, is a doctor that Raymond Brothers, his agent slash lawyer, came up with. So basically what that did is that diagnosis gave Markelle time to get away, to be away from the team. We'd get his head together. He would go there and he would do some rehab work in Kentucky. I was also told he was down there playing video games with the guys on the team, the Kentucky guys, who he has a relationship with. So I'm going to be shocked that after all this, that a doctor isn't going to come out and say, hey, everything is fine. I think that the reason why they're doing this is because they want to give Markelle a break. Also, he probably thinks that, like I said, and as I wrote, he probably thinks that he has something. But don't be shocked if they come out and say that he has some type of ailment. It might be muscle imbalance again, probably not, just because we all know that that's a farce. So it may be something, you know, we may find out today, we may find out tomorrow. And the reason why I said tomorrow is because the 76ers are off today. You know, like, you know, some of the team, you know, some guys on the team took the team plane back. Others, you know, some of them stayed up in New York and stayed an extra night in New York. Others got home, you know, on their own, by their own. Now, you know, J.J. Redick lives here. His family lives in Brooklyn. So, you know, he'll probably be heading back tomorrow. But don't be surprised if they come up with something. Now, my suggestion for Markelle is go to D.C., go to Maryland. I know you're hanging around your teammates and you were going to hang around them, but I think Markelle needs to go back to the basics. He needs to go back to where it all started. You know, I remember when I first did a story on Markelle and I went to, you know, a gym, a rec center, so to speak, in the D.C. area. And it was around a lot of people who Markelle knew. And he was in this environment. And, you know, these guys, his friend Tap, had tattoos that said faithful to the grind. And that was Markelle's inner circle. It was guys who know him. You know, I mean, they really have a great relationship with him. They know him enough to whereas they can tell him, look, dude, you're freaking up. Look, dude, get your butt in gear. Do things like that. I think he needs to be around his buddies. I think he needs to be around his mentor, Keith Williams. I think he needs to be around his quote-unquote big brother, you know, from another mother type of thing, Tap. I mean, he needs to. He needs to go somewhere and just start anew. Now, again, some people, when I say these names, some people will say, yeah, but didn't they mess up his shot? Yeah, but didn't they do this? Didn't they do that? Come on now. I mean, if you don't realize by now that these two people were fall guys and what was a lie or a little bit, I ain't gonna say a lie, but stretching the truth, wink, wink, you know, stretching his truth because no one wanted to know that the guy was dealing with a mental issue. So these two guys were used as a ploy to basically become the victims or the villains in something. And to be honest with you, it became apparent that when these two guys weren't really around as much as they used to be, things start changing for the negative. So, you know, with that said, I think that Markell would be best suited just going there and just chilling with him, having like a heart-to-heart talk or just being around people that he's comfortable with. You know, because apparently I'm hearing they're not as around as much as they used to be, and let's face it, he's getting a lot of bad advice right about now. They say they have his back, but it ain't really working out for him like that. So, you know, I think that, I think that he would be better suited going back to the crib, so to speak, and being around people who really care about him. I think that's number one. And I bet you he'd get his head back together. Now, again, with him, you know, we all know the situation with the Sixers. It's no longer being in their long-term plans. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, teams are going to start acquiring. Some have already, according to reports. But see, here's the thing, y'all. When there's some word that a team wants to trade a player or a team is considering trading a player, when word comes out, all of the 29 GMs in the league reach out and contact the other general manager. So all these GMs are going to contact Elton Brand or other people may contact the ownership group. They have to. And it becomes newsworthy. Now, I'm not downplaying it, but it becomes newsworthy if they don't do it. If you don't do it, because you have to do it because you have to find out, A, if it's true that you are willing to part ways with this player, and B, what will it take? What are you looking for? And typically, you make that phone call, you find out what they want, and then if you want to pursue it, you will make a second call. Right, to see what goes on. So this is one of those things where this is just how it goes in the NBA. You have to make it, because if you don't make that call and then your owner or someone will call the general manager and say, hey, is it true that they're going to trade someone? And you're saying, oh, I don't know. Nah, that ain't a good look. You need to know. I mean, you really... You need to know. I mean, that's like that's how people kind of sort of lose their job. So, you know, you need to know what's going on and you need to take it, you know, basically from there. So, you know, but look, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, some advertising, right? You know, so talking to you guys about how you can do some local, you know, advertising on this podcast. Because let's face it, this podcast gets listened to, you know, by a lot of people. It's also the only podcast that, you know, covers the 76ers that comes out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So if your company is interested in men that between the ages of 18 and 44 to sell sponsorship to, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Sixers is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at kepompey@yahoo.com to find out more. All right, y'all. So here goes the third segment. I just want to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming games. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This stretch was supposed to be an easy stretch. Like, you know, I'm talking about, you know, the Sixers stretch. They had four games, you know, one against Cleveland, loss. The second one was against the Brooklyn Nets. They needed a buzzer beating, well, they needed a three with 0.4 seconds left to win the game. And now on Wednesday, they play the New York Knicks at home, which should be an easy one. And they played the Washington Wizards on home on Friday, which should be another easy one. You say that, right? Two struggling ball clubs coming to Wells Fargo. Well, I'm here to tell you the 76ers cannot come out and play the same lackadaisical way they played in the last two games. They just can't. I mean, I'm not going to say they were lucky to win this game, but I am going to say they were very fortunate that Jimmy Butler is on the team. Right, I'm just going to say that. They're very fortunate to have Jimmy Butler on the team. And you can't play that way and expect to win. You can't do that. And I will commend them that they had a season low 9 turnovers. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you can't continuously thinking you can fall behind and then will your way back to win. Now, they got burnt doing it against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the worst team in the league, but yet they were able to fight back and beat the Brooklyn Nets doing it. And when you look at the Knicks are coming off of impressive victory over the Memphis Grizzlies, right? The Knicks won 103-98 yesterday against the Grizzlies, right? So, you know, so that's going to be a cause for concern for the Sixers. You know, here you go. You got Ernest Cantor, who sometimes has a pretty good game against Embiid. He had 21 points on 9-for-16 shooting, right? Man, this dude had 26 rebounds, 26 of them, right? And then you have Tim Hardaway Jr., who had 22 points, right? And he shot 6-for-16 from the field, so he wasn't, you know, he wasn't making a lot of shots. But he was 3-for-7 on three-pointers, right? You know, Emmanuel Mudiay had 17 points. Trey Burke had 15. Now, I'm looking at Tim Hardaway. If I'm the 76ers, I'm going to be a little concerned about Tim Hardaway. And my reason being is because if you look at the Sixers, they have struggled against opposing teams' perimeter players. I mean, this past game, you're going D'Angelo Russell hit him up for 38. Spencer Dinwiddie, the backup point guard, hit him up for 31, right? You know, the Sixers, if you got a guy, a perimeter player, for the most part, who can score buckets, they typically give the Sixers fits, right? Now, they're probably going to try to put Butler on them, but what they're going to do is they're going to do a lot of picks. They're picking rolls. They're going to hit screens for him. They're going to try to free him up. So, you know, the Sixers, they just need to get their act together and they need to, you know, stop falling behind and try to have, you know, a good game. Now, Kevin Knox played 7 minutes. He missed all three of his field goals this past game. So, you know, Kevin Knox is the guy that Knicks took ninth overall. Some people were hoping that he was around for the 76ers so they could draft him. But, you know, here where we are, we'll see what the 76ers can do. Currently, you know, this team is still, you know, they're still the third seed in the East with a 14-8 record. They're a game and a half out of second behind the Milwaukee Bucks, who have a 14-5 record. The Toronto Raptors, you know, are the best team in the conference with a 17-4 record. So, you know, like I said, the Sixers, they better come ready to play. Now, again, I know I said that they should beat the Knicks, but the Knicks are coming in with a 3-game winning streak. And you look at the Knicks are 7-14, the Wizards are 7-12. You know, they're coming off a win. So the Sixers just better put everything together and like I said, play a whole lot better. But thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow I will talk more about Markelle Fultz. Who knows, maybe we'll get a diagnosis today. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Thank y'all for listening, and have a great day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.